Greetings from Soundography, a crash course of music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And welcome to our season finale. We got a big one for you today, and it's not just Hammond and I, but we've also got our special sponsor of this episode, Priscilla Martinez. Hello, Priscilla.
Hi.
Well, excellent. It's good to have you here, Priscilla. And first of all, we want to thank you for your support of Soundography. It means a lot to us, helps us keep all of the turntables spinning on all of our music that we're listening to. And as part of the arrangement, you've given us a band to listen to. And who have you asked us to listen to today?
Gogo Bordello.
Excellent. Yes. This is a lot of fun because this is kind of the epitome of Soundography. It's a band that I knew very little or nothing about. I think Hammond was in the same boat, and both of us, at least I am, are right in the middle of listening to the catalog. So I'm probably about four albums in, and I will say I'm having a great time listening to this. So it's something that, that is a very cool breath of fresh air, something new that I was previously unaware existed. I'd heard the name before, but yeah. Hadn't heard their music. So what made you pick Gogo Bordello?
I actually have a long list of bands that I kind of whittled it down to. You know, just bands that I thought you guys might cover in future episodes. I didn't want to kind of go there. I kind of want to leave that for you guys. But then, you know, looking at, I think I got it down to like three or four, and it's like, okay, who do I love the most? Like, who do I just get so excited for when, you know, their music comes on or whatever. And, yeah, they definitely won. So it was, cool. When I got it down to like the last, you know, couple of bands, it was like easy pick. It was like, oh, yep. Got to go do the Gogo Bordello.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun, but boy, has it been different from anything we've listened to before.
hands down. And, you know, they, I guess, you know, later in their catalog, it gets a little more, no one's really discussed it, but they less of a Eastern European and then more just of a world sound and a little more, I would say, mainstream, just, you know, easier, I guess, on the ears than what, you know, something that people aren't typically used to, I guess, is the way to put it. So,
oh, cool. Well, then I'm still in the Eastern European phase. So I'm looking forward to kind of the branching out and into kind of a more world music yes. feel. Yeah. Have you ever seen them in concert? Have you?
I have actually. Uh-huh. We saw them, me and Daniel saw them in Santa Cruz actually last year before everything happened. And, you know, I've always wanted to see them for a long time. I've been a fan of theirs for about 15 years. And it's just schedule wise and kids and, you know, it never works out. But it happened to be, they came into town and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen at that venue. I went to the Catalyst and, it was a really good show. And about like a third of the floor was just a giant, massive pit of people doing like, you know, I don't know what kind of dancing it is, but just, you know, the traditional, Eastern European dancing with the circle and people kicking their feet. And it was great. It was a great show. It was a great show. Yeah. Energy was so massively high.
Was the crowd kind of a mix of American fans and then Eastern European fans or did they seem to just pull in a pretty much American audience that?
No, it was actually a wide range. And I don't know, you know, Santa Cruz is a college town. So I don't know if there mm-hmm. was just happened to be a lot of college kids there. But, yeah. You know, so there was a mix of, you know, European fans and American fans. Wide range of ages. I saw people, you know, I'm mid to late 30s and I saw people older than us and people younger than us. And it was just a wide range. It was a good show, really, really good show. So as soon as it ended, I'm like, oh man, I just want to go back and do it all over again. You know, just, wish the concert started experience from the beginning. That. It was so much.
That's
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I bet they put on an incredible stage show. I mean, it sounds like the crowd was a blast, but do they just light up the stage and go nuts?
They do. I don't know how much you guys have looked into information, but they literally have somebody whose entire job is just performance. So, I mean, she does like a big bass drum, but they just have people. They have, typically it used to be two females, but then now they're down to one. But that's all they do, is they just kind of dance around the stage and, you know, get the crowd livened up, and the lead singer tends to get a little eccentric. They'll, you know, jump on drums and just crowd surf, and it's awesome. They really, you know, drive the energy up. So it's a good show to watch. And then the crowd gets amped, and yeah, just very, very entertaining.
That's cool. So. Yeah. It certainly seems like it would be, just from the music that we've listened to. I'm imagining that the stage performance has got to be crazy. Do you have a favorite song by the band?
I have a lot of favorite songs. but I actually, you know, going in through, cause I've listened to their albums. We own a few, you know, I listened a little bit on YouTube for stuff I don't have. But there was a couple of bonus tracks that I didn't have. And I specifically went and seeked them out. And one of them was just, amazing. It was, it's a newer favorite song for me, called Crack the Case. And it really has, it's on one of their later albums. And there's just, it's definitely a country song, which even though there's aspects of country in some of their songs, it absolutely is a country song. So it was just
really, okay.
Yeah. And it kind of reminded me of like, mid-era Garth Brooks, you know, just like a newer country, but not like new country where it's at now. But yeah, just, you know, it still has that twang. It still has, you know, it has this energy, and it was a really awesome song. So I'm going to say that one, because I'm sure most people haven't heard that, if they even know of Gogo Bordello. So, yeah, that was like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, just not what I was expecting. So,
yeah. Oh, very cool. We're definitely going to have to check that one out.
Yeah.
Excellent. Is there anything else that, because people are going to be listening to our episode right after this one and maybe checking out their music. Is there anything else you want them to kind of think about as they're listening to, Gogo Bordello's music? Well, it's hard to say. Gogo Bordello. No. There we go.
You know, I just feel like, Eugene, he's the lead singer. And the band definitely has been his kind of thing. You know, obviously there's a lot of players that have been in it for a long time, but, he, like, to me, he's just like your typical bard, you know. he walks around the world and just plays his guitar, meet people, and it that's like heavily influenced in his music. A lot of his music is about, you know, immigrants and just, you know, like overcoming differences and things like that. But yeah, I love that they'll go multilingual. So, you know, he'll sing songs in, you know, two or three languages sometimes. And I don't know what they say, because, you know, unfortunately, I don't really speak English.
Right.
It's still really awesome to hear. And just knowing that he gets influences from basically all over the world, you know. So that I feel is, a huge part of their music.
Oh, for sure.
And actually, one other thing is, you know, all of the people in the band were all immigrants, you know, because the band originated in New York, and every single one of them came from a different part of the world. And now there's, you know, a few American players, but for the most part, it's still, you know, they got their guy from their violinist is from Russia, the guitar player is from, I believe, Jerusalem, you know, so they have like all Ecuador. I think the guy from doing the drums was Ecuador, you know, so it's just like all over the world. That one of the entertainers was a gal from China, you know, so they just, you know, he really, I think, tries to pull in influences from, you know, yeah, all over the world. I mean, I don't know how many times I can say it, but, you know,
yeah.
That's what
it sounds like. I mean, I didn't realize that even their band makeup was so diverse. That's cool. Really excited to learn more about this band as part of this episode. So this is great. Thank you so much for recommending these guys to us. Hammond, do you have anything you want to throw in? I've been monopolizing.
No, I am super thankful that she supports the show. And also, I do have to say that listening to this coming off Megadeth was a real jolt to the system.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. for me, it was like, this was the truly like a breath of fresh air.
Not that you're tipping your hand, what you thought of Megadeth or anything.
No.
There is one of the other, you know, there was an special track, like I said, there's a few of them. I think they have like 3 or 4 songs that aren't on the actual albums. Well, you know, they're special releases and whatever. But they actually, the same album that had that country song, Crack the Case, also has this like hardcore punk metal song, which I wasn't, they've got the punk, sure, I get that, but like really hardcore metal. And it's, you know, I don't know. It just, if you're looking to go back to the Megadeth, it's more along that line. It's called Jealous Sister. So that was also, you know, just way different from the rest of their album, and just interesting, you know, interesting to hear.
Yeah. So. Oh, very cool. Excellent. Well, this will be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
There's this, I don't know if you've heard the song Start Wearing Purple yet. I think. Okay. So there is, somebody took that song. And if you've heard it a few times, like I recommend hearing it a few times so you know the song a little bit, but they took it and they took clips of The Count from Sesame Street and mashed it up so that it's like literally the video, like the whole song's playing. And then it's just clips of The Count. It is so amazing. Like the timing is perfect. It's just, sometimes I just have to go watch the video because it just makes me laugh so much.
Oh, but, that's great. I'm going to look for that because that seems like the song that I've heard the most. It's appeared on a couple different albums, and it's, you know, without giving anything away, it does feel like it is their Stairway to Heaven song. So I've heard it a few times now, and going to go look for that video since we're done. Yeah,
it's definitely worth looking for. So.
Cool. terrific. Well, Priscilla, thank you one more time for your support of the show and for being part of it with this suggestion. All right. So Priscilla, thank you so much, not just for your support of the show, but also for kind of introducing us to Gogol Bordello. I've really had a good time this week. We keep on listening, and once again, I appreciate it. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And as you heard in that intro with Priscilla, our band today is Gogol Bordello. Big thanks again to Priscilla for spending some time and talking to us and introducing us to this band, which I had heard the name. I've heard of this band, but I'd never listened to any of their music. And I kind of fell in love. I kind of love this band.
I'm not gonna lie.
This is what I needed, I think.
I had no idea this group existed. And as we walked out, one of my favorite things in YouTube was discovered at the prompting of Priscilla.
Yes.
And
the Count singing Start Wearing Purple.
And I have listened to that probably 4 or 5 times since we spoke with her, because that is great.
It is the perfect complement to the vocal style of the lead vocalist, right? I mean, it is absolutely the sound that you'd expect, or the look you'd almost expect if you never saw this guy, what you'd expect him to look like.
Yeah. I mean, the music fit the count, it fit the color, everything about it was absolutely perfect.
That's right. And it's funny because I think at times the guy never sounded like the count to me before seeing that video, but he did sound like a combo between Rolf the dog, the piano playing dog, and I think maybe Cookie Monster. There was another Muppet that I thought he sounded like. I never picked the count, but now I can't hear anything but the count when I listen. So again, big thanks to Priscilla, not just for letting us know about Gogol Bordello and sponsoring the show, of course, but also pointing us to that YouTube video, which made things even better.
Yeah, it did.
Let's talk about the band. They were formed. Gogol Bordello was formed in Manhattan in 1999 by Eugene Hutz, Vlad Solovar, and Sasha Kazachkov. I'm going to do my best not to slip into my lousy Russian impersonation. It's going to be really, really hard.
Yeah, let's not have Boris and Natasha host the show.
Moose and Squirrel, also part of the band for a period of time. I'm noticing that Zora, the destroyer from Glow, is also kind of my voice to do. All right. Members of this group come and go, but the current lineup is Eugene Hutz, Sergei Ryabatsev, Thomas Gobina, Pedro Erazo, Alfredo Ortiz, Boris Peke, and Ashley Tobias.
Members all originate from all over the world. So they're bringing in their ethnic histories, their ethnic music. They're bringing in the music and the music, even the instruments from other cultures into this to create this hybrid of music.
I totally hear it. Like, I totally hear the instrumentation being true to their sound, true to their origins, which I really, really like. I also was surprised when Priscilla said that they were from all over the Eastern European area mm-hmm. and not just Russian, because I, for whatever reason, I assumed, oh, all right, Gogol Bordello, Russia.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be what they're talking about. They feature a wide variety of musical styles and influences, including Romani music, punk, dub, and while they still use violin and accordion.
And sometimes saxophone.
Yeah, that's a weird one. Like, all right, the accordion I get, but the saxophone feels like it came out of nowhere at one point. That's all right. That's totally all right. The band pulled its name from a classical Russian writer.
Their goal was to blend Eastern European music with the music of Romani culture.
I like that. And then, you know, I'm not going to say the word that we're avoiding saying, because it's not politically correct anymore.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. they even use the word in some of their songs. So I don't feel.
And it's funny, when I did the notes, I actually wrestled with that, because it's in the lyrics. It's in some of their references. But
yeah,
because it's now not as accepted as it was even 10 years ago.
Right. I think that's the key right there.
And I want to be as sensitive to it as possible, because I don't want to offend or, you know, stir anything up.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I think that's a smart way to go about doing it. Their first single was released in 1999, when the trickster starts a poking.
A man came up to me and said, you know, the older you will get, the more perverted you will get. Hey, I'd like to see you try it. How what you gonna do about it?
This did not appear on any album, though, until later on their second album.
I like it when they do that. Like, they, you know, they have a song that they're kind of known for at the beginning for their local fans, like the folks that they maybe do their intimate, you know,
bar shows,
venue concert settings. Right, exactly. Love seeing them do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Their first album, I believe, I'm gonna call it Voila Intruder. I think that is the way that this is. It's not Voila. I've always thought that Voila was one word, V-O-I-L-A, but they put a hyphen in the middle. The album Voila Intruder is divided into two movements. Letter to Mother is based on a Sergei Yesenin poem, and Start Wearing Purple was released as a single. We're gonna talk a lot about that song.
Yeah.
Second album came out in 2002, Multi Contra Culti versus Irony, Occurrence on the Border, and Through the Roof and Underground were on the Wrist Cutters soundtrack.
Through the roof. Ooh. Through the roof. Underground.
So the way you opened this album was you went back, back, forward, forward, up, up, down, down.
Ah, Contra, I gotcha. Nicely done.
No, Through the Red Roof was mixed in 2013 by Rob Garza. And I know that name stands out, but I don't know why it stands out.
Half of Thievery Corporation. Okay.
All right.
So the band Thievery Corporation, he's a dance and EDM producer, which makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I was counting on you for your badass knowledge of that kind of music.
Well, I appreciate that. Their third album, 2005's Gypsy Punks Underdog World Strike, can't help it, came out. The title track, still a favorite that they perform at live shows.
I am a foreigner and I'm walking through the street. But before I want to, I see the same deeds inherited by fuel, a power machine that crashes you and strangles you right in your sleep.
And featured another recording, a re-recording of their hit Start Wearing Purple.
And again, spoiler alert, it's their Stairway song.
If that didn't make it clear, then this probably should.
Yeah, and it's also the one they remixed the Count singing. So if the Count sings it, it's a Stairway song.
For sure. If you get a Muppet on Sesame Street to sing your song, it's probably going to be your Stairway to Heaven. Also in 2005, they released an EP called East Infection. Hilarious. The title track is still a favorite live shows as well. Also, this featured their first steps into dub music.
Protect this generation from the raging East Infection. Market another British invasion or 80s regurgitation. Or more council of inbreeding, or the garbage of refeeding. Go protect your generation from the East Infection.
Also in 2005, they appeared in Everything is Illuminated. Eugene Hutt starred with Elijah Wood in that one.
This was a dramedy about not the Nazi purge, which is a phrase that I didn't think existed in the world.
A dramedy about the Nazi purges.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I would say if you haven't seen Jojo Rabbit.
I have not.
That's got a little bit more comedy than you would expect. Actually, it's got a lot more comedy than you would expect in a movie about a boy whose best friend is an imaginary Hitler. And it is fantastic. It is so good.
All right. I'll have to watch that one.
So that's more, if dramedy is a drama with a little bit of comedy, then Jojo Rabbit is a comma. It's a lot more comedy than drama. In 2006, Sally was released as a double single with Star Wars.
There's something on the road. She picketed a hub. And cultural revolution right away began. Oh no! Cult revolution just began.
Once again, hint, hint.
Yeah, I think that purple dog. We've beaten that purple horse to death.
It's like that new Order song, Blue. What was it? Blue Monday. That they
released? Blue Monday.
Yeah, released every time they release something. Here's every another version time, of Blue Monday.
Like, here's one where we've made the bass track 10% louder. In 2007, they released the album Super Taranta. Love this. This was listed as Rolling Stones on their list of top 50 albums of 2007. Ultimate, the song, was listed at number 82 on their list of best songs of the same year. And Wanderlust King was the first and only single.
But I'm a Wanderlust King. I stay on the run.
In 2008, a documentary about Gogol Bordello called Nonstop was made by the band. And in 2009, Live from Exis Mundi contained songs from BBC sessions and other demos and rare tracks. In 2010, they released the album Transcontinental Hustle. This was their major label debut after having struck a deal with Rick Rubin's company.
The collaboration between Rubin and Hutz was initiated by Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine Audioslave.
Yeah, and that seems like more, well, you know, I guess the Rob Garza connection makes sense too, but it feels like these guys could open for Rage Against the Machine or Audioslave.
Oh, yeah. No, and Morello is a real unsung musical genius. I think more people need to pay attention to what he does as a musician, as a guitar player, because he's really, really, really good at what he does, and he doesn't get as much credit as I think he should. I think he's up there in the Vi's, the Petrucci's, you know, the Satriani's of the world, but his style and the way he approaches it isn't as flashy, so people just don't notice. But I think he's right up there with them.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's such a well-known name, too.
Yeah.
The songs all pull inspiration from Hutz's move and life in Brazil.
So the one thing I noticed in this is you can hear the money being spent on this album as opposed to the other ones. It sounds for sure. So it feels like good. Major label. Yeah.
It's very polished, very I think even Priscilla was talking about this being kind of a change of their sound, and I 100% hear that.
Well, it's still them. It's clearly still them. The humor's there, the approach is there, the music is there, the cultures are all there, but you can hear that they're like, oh, look, we have an extra knob that gets rid of the extra noise. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Look at this. We can afford reverb.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally is. And it's kind of fun when you hear a band get to the stage where they've got the big label money behind them and they can improve their sound. And I think that Priscilla was saying that this is kind of when they had more of a full Eastern European sound to them, pulling in some just regular punk influences, but kind of going further than they'd gone before with their previous albums, just staying true to their origins, but kind of putting a new coat of paint on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Immigrandiata, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Immigrandiata found heavy airplay on Sirius XM. In 2013, they released the album Pura Vida Conspiracy. Can't help it. It's just going to happen. I'm sorry, Hammond.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Priscilla because you're making fun of her band.
You're not making fun of that entire accent as a whole.
I know. Their growth as songwriters and storytellers have kind of come a really long way from the early albums.
Totally have. In 2017, their most recent release, Seekers and Finders, this was produced by Eugene Hutz, and Saboteur Blues was the first single. Gina Spector was a guest on the title track, and we're going to talk about her in a minute too.
Yeah, and this is the second time this season she's come up, because I actually picked her track with Ben Folds for the Ben Folds episode.
Oh, right. Yeah, I really love her voice. And if the name doesn't ring a bell, she is the vocalist who created the song, what is it called? You've Got Time, the theme that they use for Orange is the New Black.
Uh-huh. Yep.
In 2012, they recorded a song for Let's Get Crazy, or they recorded Let's Get Crazy for an ad campaign in Europe for Coca-Cola. Now, this is not Let's Go Crazy by Prince. This isn't a cover that I was previously unaware of, right?
No, this is a new song about them getting crazy.
Chanting a chant, don't you wanna lose control? Break free, get your flag and paint and live yourself. Let's go.
Gotcha. Hammond, tell me some statistics and general notes about Google Bordello.
So, after having done all the research for them, I might not know about them, but there must be plenty of people in Hollywood who do, because they've appeared in Kill Your Idols, Wrist Cutters, A Live Story, Filth and Wisdom, a couple short films, one's called Grain. They showed up in Fargo once, and they even had music show up in the new Tick on Amazon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so that's just to name a few things. So people, like music supervisors in Hollywood, must definitely know who they are, because they get used an awful lot, and music supervisors are the key to getting people on TV shows and stuff. So good for them.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's well deserved, and they're such a fun indie band with such a recognizable sound that it doesn't surprise me one bit that they'd get tapped on the shoulder to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say you go see Stairway, or let's say you go see Google Bordello in concert. what would be the Google Bordello song of Stairway to Heaven? We've already talked about this a lot. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Hammond, what would be their Stairway to Heaven?
I bet money that it'd Start Wearing Purple.
Yeah, I'm guessing, and I'm pulling it up right now. All your sanity and wish they will all vanish, I promise. It is just a matter of time. I know you since you were a 20. I was 20 and thought that so many years from now. Well, look, would you look at that? Start Wearing Purple on number one. 745 performances of that in concert. Second is Wonder, followed by Not a Crime, Emigraniata, Fala Tutte, Ultimate, My Compañera, Mixto, Think Locally, F Globally, and Alcohol. I do remember that last song, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. F Globally was, it did stand out for me.
Did it? Okay. Yeah. There were a few songs that I know had some F-bombs in them, and I'm going to talk about one of those too. Their biggest cover that they do in concert is Malavita, which is a cover of Mano Negra. And is that it? Oh, here we go. Here's the one I want to hear. Holy cow. Riders in the Sky, covering Stan Jones and his Death Valley Rangers, that old classic.
Actually, prompted. I saw that listed somewhere when I was doing my work, and that actually prompted me to make my pick.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, man, I want to hear that now. Dirty Old Town by Ewan McCall, Heartbreak Hotel by Elvis Presley, also in. Okay, some great covers in here that I've got to hear. Love it.
Actually, you know, thinking now, I'd like to hear them cover. This isn't on my list. I'm just thinking as you ran through House of the Rising Sun. That would be great.
Yeah, it feels like it would be right up their alley, you mm-hmm. know? And that song has been transformed by so many different artists that I feel like this would be another style that it would work perfectly in.
Yeah.
Good choice. All right, let's talk about who we'd want to hear them cover. Just roll right into that. We each pick a song that we would like to hear the band cover. I always go first because I typed it into the spreadsheet above Hammond's. And my choice.
Alphabetically, is, Brian. Alphabetically. That's why we do it.
That's why we do it. Okay. Oak is B H. Yeah, I see that. All right. But you're C, I'm I, last names.
No, first names only. We're in podcasting. Only no one cares about last names.
Okay, very good. My choice is It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine by REM. Obviously, this when REM performs it, it's a very raucous song. And Gogol Bordello, being a very raucous band, I think would do a really cool Eastern European feel version of it. I think it would be awesome. Plus, it would be really funny to hear them pronounce names like Leonard Bernstein and, they do fine with Leonid Brezhnev. Lenny Bruce and Lester Bangs. I don't know. There'd be a bunch of, it'd be fun to hear them to rattle through those fast lyrics.
Another Liszt song that would be good was We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah, it would. It would. Would they have to change it to events that occurred in Europe only? Or would they sing about Marilyn Monroe and JFK?
I don't know. That's an interesting question about lyrical content and creative liberties.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. All right. Anyway, there you go. What's your choice, Hammond?
So I picked Ride the Lightning by Metallica. I don't think I need to add anything. After listening to the samples of the music that you guys have heard throughout the show, and after Brian and I have listened to the entire catalog, I just have to throw out the edict that this needs to happen. It needs to happen sooner than later.
That's great. That is a great choice.
Because of the ethnic instruments, because of the vocal styling, because of the sense of humor. I mean, all of the things that they do well, I think could do something with this that would be exceedingly entertaining and very listenable.
Love it. Great choice. All right. Next up on the show is when we talk about our set list. This is where we pick five songs that we enjoyed over the course of the week and add it to what would be their greatest hits, although I think they're only their greatest hit. Since they don't have a greatest hits album per se, I think that Start Wearing Purple would be their greatest hit album.
That's the only song that was off limits to us is Start Wearing Purple.
That's really exactly, which is a bummer because I probably would have picked it. I liked it, but I like some of these others a lot more, especially my number one choice is called Unvisible Zed. Not Invisible Zed, but Unvisible Zed. She's in the house with Invisible Zed. Well does she know? and it's from the Voila album. The hilarity doesn't just start or stop with the title. The song is hilarious and kind of graphic at times, a song about an invisible intruder and what he's doing to this woman who's bending over to pick up a lint on the floor or yawning or taking a bath, what this invisible intruder is doing to her. And it's gross and horrible if it were true, but funny in this context. I don't want to, I'm trying to tread this line very carefully that the song content is hilarious because it could never happen. How's that?
Okay.
Do you disagree?
No. I think it's a very inappropriately funny song that I'm glad that like ghosts haven't actually been hard proven yet.
Yes, there we go. See, now that's the way I should have phrased it. Holy cow, why didn't I phrase it like that?
I mean, because Zach Bagans of Ghost Adventures is probably going to want to find that house and try to get some EVPs or something.
Wait, I heard something. Did you see the curtains move, man? I just saw the curtains move.
Zach, close your mouth.
I don't want to know what's happening. My number two pick is Suddenly I Miss Parpati. Ranta. This is just a really cool song as it builds, and it sounds just like a Cossack dance song, like the songs you imagine that are playing when you fold your arms and kick your legs out, left, mm-hmm. you yep. know, one after the other.
Yeah.
Do I have to describe what the Cossack dance song is?
No, I think it's fine. I actually, I would like to wonder if they, in concert, if they perform live, do they have a Cossack
at any point
pit?
Do they do that?
Like a Cossack pit.
I'd be amazed if they don't. It'd be silly for them not to, right?
Because that makes the mosh pit a lot more dangerous.
I know, because it's all kicking.
Yeah, and balance.
and right, exactly. You're folding your arms, so you can't catch yourself if you fall over.
Nope. And if some wild mosher comes around, you're getting wiped out.
Oh, well, you don't bring a mosh to a Cossack fight. My third choice is a live track that not released on an album, but because it's a cover, I had to include it because I love it. It is their cover, sort of pseudo cover, of La Isla Bonita from the Live Earth 2007 concert. It is performed with Madonna. So it is Madonna covering her own song, but she's being backed by Gogol Bordello. And so it completely changes the song and adds such the right amount of their sound to it, their flair. I kind of would like to hear what it sounds like for them to perform this with Eugene Hutz, I think, is the vocalist.
Yes. Who's Madge? Eugene Hutz.
Madge is Madonna.
Oh, okay.
That's a nickname for Madonna.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you had that kind of relationship with her.
Believe me, we go way back and I call her Madge when she isn't affecting her fake British accent. Fourth choice is American Wedding. This is also from Super Toronto. Another really funny one from the band. This is about the differences between American and Eastern European weddings. It's almost like a stand-up comedy routine. The difference, what's the deal with American weddings? But it's got hilarious stuff like talking about American weddings, where's the vodka and the marinated herring? And it's just a really funny, funny description, like comparison between American and Eastern European weddings. And then song number five, I mentioned it earlier, but is the title track from the Seekers and Finders album.
Community too. Ready to fight this rip on the mask and tear on the blinders.
This is the one with Regina Spektor on vocals, and I did not know how much I needed to hear them do a duet with Regina Spektor until I heard them do a duet with Regina Spektor. It's just the perfect complement to Eugene's voice is Regina's smooth, soft, sweet voice, and his coming in, singing like Rolf from the Muppets. And
actually, you sound more like Dr. Teeth there.
That's who it is. It's Dr. Teeth and Rolf is who the combination is.
There you go.
That's 100%. Thank you. I'd forgotten who it was the second.
All you had to do was do the impersonation, and I would have gotten it for you.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly who I was thinking of. No count, no Cookie Monster, but Rolf and Dr.
Yeah, because Dr. Teeth is Dr. John.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's got that kind of that way of speaking, you know, the gravelly, and then Rolf is more like this, and you put those two together.
It's funny. Dr. Teeth is like Zappa by way of Dr. John.
Sure. Anyway. All right. Tell me about your picks.
So I picked Passport from Voila. This song, it started really cool. It had a nice build up and it stayed that way. And there wasn't any weird changes or anything. It just stayed consistent and really, really cool throughout. And you're going to notice as I discuss these, I really talked a lot about feel because this is a big change. I mean, this is something I didn't know anything about going in and coming off Megadeth. This was kind of a culture shock.
This was a culture shock, a little bit of whiplash for me. The breath of fresh air that I needed after.
this was the thing that got you through your constipation of Dave Mustaine's voice.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Sure.
See, and I love Megadeth and I can still make these jokes, which that says something. I don't know how Dave appreciates it, but whatever.
All right. Well, he'll never hear this.
You don't know.
That's true. Might be a subscriber. I'm unsubscribing from... from Soundography because you won't change the RSS feed.
All right.
Please continue.
my second one was Future Kings from Multicontra. Like the mood of this one too. And then when it gets at the beginning and then it breaks into something completely different than what we had earlier, but it still totally fits. And I really love the cultural influences and how they use them in part of kind of stashing musical styles next to each other. So that kind of talent can't go unnoticed or unmentioned in this conversation because they're cramming styles of music together that typically don't fit. And they're making it work or don't sound like they'd fit and they're making it work. The next one is Dub the Frequencies of Love from Super Tantra. Again, this is something really out of the ordinary. They mix kind of different styles and they make something new and interesting and cool and fun. And as much as I'm not someone who pops up and starts dancing, some of this stuff made me want to pop up and start dancing, which I restrain myself because I've got, you know, people with cameras that could videotape and it could go get ugly fast.
You don't want to be the next TikTok sensation.
I don't. I really, not on accident. Because it would be my daughter filming it, putting it up there. If I want to do it, I'll do it on purpose.
Okay, fair enough.
Then I picked the Transcontinental Hustle.
When death comes, I won't be there. In fact, I will not be found anywhere. Not in Nevada, not in Sahara.
And it starts with like a, it starts with a guitar in his voice, and then in a little bit later, it just blows up and turns into this very raucous, very energetic, you know, break into the music. And again, all of this stuff is super entertaining to listen to because you're not, you, if you're unfamiliar with it, you have no idea where it's going to go. So it starts one place and then you're just kind of hanging on. And what you think might happen sometimes doesn't. And it creates this kind of musical roller coaster, especially if you're unfamiliar. So for me, kind of hanging on for the ride was half the fun.
I'm glad you described it as a roller coaster, because I was about to do that if you didn't.
Yeah. So. And then the last one is, it is the other side of the rainbow.
The way to freedom, the way to freedom that I used to know. Isn't not deeper knowing of my soul. The way to freedom, the way to freedom
that I like how they say that the other side of the rainbow is all black and white. Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side?
Wow, those are great lyrics. You should make a song with those lyrics.
But, I mean, kind of carrying through, though, the idea that this side of the rainbow is colorful and bright and cheerful, and the other side of the rainbow is black and white. It's a really cool notion. And then the freedom is actually really knowing himself or ourselves, or however you want to phrase it. But it's a really cool, I love the imagery of this song. This is probably my favorite of the ones we listened to outside of Start Wearing Purple and The Count.
Yeah, right. This is the other replay.
Yeah, this is the one. This is the one song that's now on my phone that when it comes up in shuffle, I'm not pounding through.
Oh, wow.
Like I do with some of the, you know, Underworld 2.0 stuff.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry, I had to say it.
I know you, it wasn't your jam.
That was not. And I'm glad we were able to balance out the jams. We balanced out the jams.
Oh, I know.
With Megadeth for you.
It's a good, you know what? That's kind of what makes the show work as well as it does, is that you and I don't have exactly the same taste. I'll like the level 42s. You'll like the Megadeths. You know, I'll like the.
But the other side of that.
World 2.0.
But the other side of that coin is we're both open minded enough that if it's something we don't know, like this for me, that we're coming at it with objectivity, and there's enough musical appreciation and knowledge that even though it's something new and completely, you know, foreign and unrelatable to some other things to me, but I can find things I really like and enjoyed out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't help but agree with you, Hammond. I just can't help it. Well, guess what? This is our end of season episode. This was our last episode of the season. And so we're going to start working on all of our choices for next season, but we also have some in-between season stuff coming, a couple one-offs, but also if you're a patron, you'll get some extra shows that way as well. Some of our new specials that we've been doing. So now's a great time to subscribe. If you haven't yet, a good time to subscribe to us over on Patreon. If you want to get in touch with us, email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. We are at The Soundography on Twitter. So follow us there and let us know what you think of the show. For everything else, just go to our website. It's soundography.com. You'll find every episode we've done. And each episode's show notes contains a link to our playlist on Spotify, a link to where you can buy the songs we recommend or an album we recommend on Amazon, and of course, a link to our Patreon, where you can support the show, as I mentioned a moment ago, and get some cool, cool bonus stuff. Notepads, we had some iPhone or phone holder things come out that were really cool. I'm especially proud of the notepads because it lets people really easily and in a cool way create their own top 10 lists of songs or top 25 lists of songs.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
Do you use yours?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Good. It's also a good way to leave your reviews. You can either leave them in the show notes or Twitter or whatever, but give us your reviews. We love to hear what you think of the show, what you like, what you don't like. Maybe Hammond didn't duck that Ben Folds thing quite the way you would have liked. But no, we love to get your reviews. So leave your reviews wherever you get your podcasts and help other people discover Soundography. Anything to close us out, Hammond?
No, this was actually a really, really fun season. We've kind of...
It really was.
This was one where we covered a lot of different musical bases.
Yeah, we really did. Went all over the map and kind of what we needed, or what I needed at least, during all the stuff that's going on with the pandemic. This was the distraction that worked perfectly for keeping me sane. So I love it.
Yep.
All right, then, on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thank you for listening to another season of Soundography. We'll see you for the next season coming up soon, right here on, I said it again, Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.